Good morning. This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, March 22nd. Well, the wheat markets have had quite a push to the downside. A little bit of rain in the southern plains, and that's all you need for the bears to come out of the woodwork. And you're just not going to rally a market if it's raining in March. And it looks like we're going to get more rain in April. The 6 to 10 day forecast still calling for more rain across the southern and central plains. Most, you know, the heart of that system is centered over the eastern part of the plains, but the western plains are showing that they should have a pretty good shot of moisture as well, and that stretches up into the central plains. And of course, Nebraska really hasn't had those dry conditions that we've seen in Kansas on south. The northern plains, which have been mired in a drought since last summer, they've actually had a fair amount of rain over and snow, moisture, over the last few months. And it looks like more is on tap for them as well. The 6 to 10 day does not really show much moisture, but the 8 to 14 has a fairly large system moving across Montana and Canadian prairies, and that would stretch across the Dakotas as well. So at least for the northern plains, it looks like they should have enough moisture to get things rolling here this spring. And we are looking for an increase in spring wheat acres. So that has certainly kind of pulled the plug on the Minneapolis market, which broke below that key support that had been the bottom end of a trading range for a few months now. But when you take the width of that trading range, project it down, which is a technical projection, we've actually reached it. Yesterday's price action got down to that price level. Didn't exactly snap back, but at least we closed off of the lows. In Chicago and Kansas City, chart formations there look like they could have found at least a short-term bottom. We tested that minor double top breakout from December, late December, early Jan, and then mid-Jan. And the markets tested that in Chicago here a couple days ago, got down to that level on front month Kansas City. Both of those markets snapped back and got at least somewhat of a reversal up. So that would be a signal to me that we probably have found at least a short-term low here, if not a longer-term low. The world cash prices have pulled back just a touch. Last week we saw that Russia sold some wheat to Egypt at slightly higher money, but since then we've seen prices back off about a dollar a ton. So generally speaking, they're still on the top end of a slow, steady, gradual rally over the last few months in world prices. But I would expect as the weather warms up in Russia and farmers start aggressively selling for money for operating expenses, that we're going to see more pressure coming into the Russian market, particularly as it looks like their crops look quite good. They've had a very mild winter, which for them is huge, but they had good moisture conditions going into the fall and winter. They really didn't have much stress at all on the crop. And they've got plenty of moisture available to the crop as we get the growing season started. So unless they have something that comes out of left field, some dry and hot conditions, that, you know, they're still looking at a fairly large wheat crop. For Russia, probably won't be the bin buster that they had last year, but they certainly could be on tap for another very large crop. That's going to obviously be kind of the overarching wet blanket on this wheat market, that even if the United States returns to a dry condition, which, you know, we could still, but it's looking less likely like that would happen. So, you know, the longer term outlook for the wheat complex, I think at best is sideways. I don't think we've been able to turn the corner into a bull market yet, because the United States really is the only country that is in trouble for the Northern Hemisphere. Now, you kind of started a potential bull market with the very poor crop that we had in Australia. But with record world carryout and huge Russian stocks ready to fill the voids left by Australia, and they are into Southeast Asia, really couldn't get much traction based off of the Australian weather problems. And that's unfortunate. Usually you would see a much bigger reaction than we got. Here in the United States, we started out, we had our weather premium run into early March, and then it just totally ran out of gas, and then the rain started coming. La Nina is officially over, and that should allow more rain systems to move through not only Argentina, but also the U.S. Southern Plains. And that does appear to be happening. Argentine rains are coming, but it's a bit late for corn and soybeans, except for the late planted crops. But by and large, they had a pretty disastrous growing season. Here in the United States, of course, so we had a very poor moisture situation for most of the winter across Southern Plains, which helped the cattle feeding areas, but certainly did not help winter wheat. I should say helped cattle feedlots. It didn't help cattle grazing, as we saw strings and strings of cattle being pulled off of winter wheat grazing starting in January and still continuing to this day, where in areas that they would graze that off in, you know, through April at least, it doesn't look like that wheat was able to support it. Rains are coming a bit late for that. So this is, at the bottom line with wheat is that the rains are coming to Kansas, but are they going to be enough? And what do the crop conditions look like, especially as you get into the spring planting season for sorghum, cotton, you know, other choices for producers in the Western Plains, that if the wheat doesn't look even somewhat good, they'll probably plow it up and move to another crop. If the rains are coming, they'll probably leave it in place. So there's still a stretch of time in front of us where farmers have to make decisions. And, you know, if the rains are coming, I think it just makes that much more difficult for them. But nevertheless, they still have to decide if they're going to accept a marginal crop and see what it can do, or tear it up and plant something where they have better conditions potentially. So it's a tough decision, I think, coming for them, but nevertheless, they're going to have to make that. Export sales would normally be out this morning, but they're going to be delayed till Friday from a government shutdown, apparently. Stocks and plantings report, of course, are next Thursday. That's going to be the driver of market direction for quite some time. Trade is looking for a drop in corn acres and a push higher in bean acres. And for the first time in history, probably see more beans be planted than corn. Now, the corn, all of these crops have had a pullback in prices. Corn, really, I think, has turned the corner into a bull market. From a demand-driven perspective, we are the game. Argentina is the second largest exporter, and they're not going to be exporting much. Ukraine is in third, but they're way behind us. And so demand for U.S. corn has skyrocketed over the last couple months. We're on a record pace for for corn. So it's a demand-led bull market in corn, which is really where you want to be, because that's a strong, steady, very solid base of support for that longer-term trend. Now we're getting into the growing season. We're already talking about a shift away from corn acres here in the United States. So that sets us up for some pretty big dynamics coming into the growing season. So for corn, I think that's kind of where you want to be positioned. Soybeans, of course, can be huge movers in a weather market, but I think it's corn that's going to give you the best leverage and the most bang for your buck. So that's what we're focused on. That would help support wheat as well. So with wheat, if the rains keep coming in the Central Plains, I think our highs were put in that early March, that 1st of March surge. We'll probably chop around here. I think we have found a low here. Like, these supports will hold. We'll bounce back up, test the gaps from Monday. That's a nice little pop higher. It's going to be difficult to get back above those gaps, though, and I would expect the markets will probably trade in that range. We'll find some support from corn. The U.S. prices are going to be competitive now, with world prices holding generally steady to just slightly lower. U.S. prices have plummeted. So suddenly, just that fast, just as fast as we priced ourselves way out of the market, we're now back into competitive range here. So that's certainly supportive to the market. But bottom line is, if the rains are coming, the market's going to struggle to rally. But we'll see here. I think the market needs to come up for air. We'll probably bounce, get a 15, 20 cent bounce, test those gaps, and then probably come back down and retest these lows once again. And again, it just depends on the rains, but the plantings report will have a lot to do with that as well. So that wraps up the wheat commentary. If you have any questions, feel free to call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.